At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to aero hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
You solemnly swear the evidence you give the court and jury in the case down here is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do. Good morning.
All right, Mr. Lally, whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning, Ms. Philip.
Good morning.
Could you please introduce yourself to the jury, spelling your last name for the court?
My name is Ash Valier, spelled V-A-L-L-I-E-R.
And where do you work?
I work at the Massachusetts State Police Crime Laboratory.
And where did you go to school?
I got my bachelor degree in biochemistry and cell biology from UC San Diego and a master degree in biomedical forensic sciences from Boston University.
Now, following your education, where did you go to work from there?
Directly after I got my degree at Boston University, I worked at the Broad Institute.
And what did you do at the Broad Institute?
I did quality control checks of items that potentially could be tested for pharmaceutical use.
Now, how long have you worked at the Massachusetts State Police Crime Laboratory?
A little over 6 years.
Now, is the state lab accredited?
It is.
And by whom?
ANAB.
And what does ANAB stand for?
It stands for ANSI, National Accreditation Board.
And the ANSI within the ANAB, what does that stand for?
That is another acronym that I don't recall right now.
Now, as part of that accreditation process, do you undergo any sort of type of proficiency testing?
I do.
And can you explain to the jury what that proficiency testing process consists of?
A proficiency test is a test that is given from an outside agency in the discipline that you do casework in, that you would work through like a normal case, but it has an end expected result at the end.
And how often do you undergo proficiency testing?
Every year.
And what areas do you specifically undergo proficiency testing in?
I've done proficiency tests in gunshot primer residue and physical match analysis.
And have you successfully completed each of those proficiency tests that you've taken?
I have.
Now, when you initially joined the State Police Lab, what was your position and title that you were hired for?
I was hired as a forensic scientist one.
Now, can you please explain to the jury what your duties and responsibilities were as a forensic scientist one?
So a forensic scientist one is the introductory level. It's when you start your training in whatever discipline you're going to be trained in and quality control checks. After you've been at the laboratory for over a year, and you're signed off to do casework, you become a forensic scientist too.
And you're currently a forensic scientist too, is that correct?
Yes.
What is the difference between a forensic scientist one and a forensic scientist two at the Massachusetts State Police Crime Laboratory?
A forensic scientist two has been at the lab for over a year and can do casework.
Now, just in general terms, what does the trace unit do or examine within the State Police Crime Laboratory?
I'm a part of the Trace Arson and Explosives Unit. So we analyze a wide range of pieces of evidence. So there's trace covers a lot of small things. So paint, fibers, glass, gunshot primer residue, physical matches. Arson covers fire debris evidence, and explosives covers explosives.
Now, specifically with reference to physical match analysis, can you explain to the jury, just in general terms at first, how is that analysis performed?
So physical match analysis is piecing broken things together to see if they were at once a single item. Generally, you look at the questioned item first, the item that you don't know specifically where it came from, look at that. And then you would look at the known item, which is an item with a known source, like specifically like this window or like this vehicle. They're analyzed at separate times. And then if it looks like there could potentially be a physical match, you would analyze them together and see if they have a mechanical fit.
Now, when you retrieve items just in general to do some sort of physical match analysis, where do you get those items from?
We have evidence storage locations at the laboratory.
And how are they typically packaged when you receive them?
They can be packaged in cardboard boxes, brown paper bags, heat-sealed plastic bags. It depends on the individual items.
And when you're doing this analysis as far as the physical match analysis, what do you do to your bench between your examination of separately packaged items?
Before I do any analysis, I bleach my bench, clean my tools, and then put down a fresh sheet of butcher paper.
And why do you do that?
To make sure everything's clean.
Now, again, speaking more in general terms, on what types of evidence can you perform a physical match analysis?
Can you repeat the question?
Sure. In general terms, with your work within the lab, on what types of items can you perform a physical match analysis?
A lot. Anything that has a broken or irregular edge.
Would that include glass?
Yes.
Would that include plastic?
Yes.
What are some of the other things that would also include?
Any sort of like polymer, metals.
And when you're doing a physical match analysis, what instruments do you utilize in the course of that analysis?
Generally, I'll use a stereo zoom microscope. Depending on the size of the items compared, I can use other microscopes as well.
Now, what is a stereo zoom microscope?
A stereo zoom microscope is a microscope that's mounted on a stand. So it gives a wider range of view that you can look at larger items.
And how are you using that specifically in your physical match analysis of, let's say, items of plastic?
I'll use it to look at the edges and see if there's any like defining characteristics along those broken edges.
Now, as you're going through your analysis, do you document your work as you go?
I do.
And how do you do that?
With handwritten notes and with photos.
Now, at some point, were you assigned to perform some work on lab case number 22-02184 pertaining to this defendant, Karen Reed?
Yes.
And what type of work were you assigned to do in this case?
I was asked to do physical match analysis, and then later on, I was asked to look at, do some trace recovery, look at some debris.
And starting with the physical match analysis, how many different items approximately were you asked to look at?
Over 10.
Several, fair to say?
Yes.
Okay. And how are each of those items packaged when you receive them?
So the questioned items were packaged in a large paper bag, and then each item was individually packaged in a smaller brown paper bag within that container.
Now, again, just in general terms, because you've used it a couple times, when you say questioned item versus known item, as it pertains to this analysis in this case, what were the questioned items generally, and what was the known item?
The questioned items were items labeled as coming from a road, and the known item was labeled as coming from a taillight from a vehicle.
Now, in this case, did you perform your physical match analysis in the same manner that you've previously described based on your education, training, and experience within the lab?
Yes.
Now, initially, you had examined some various plastic and glass items, and there was a drinking straw in there as well, correct?
Yes.
And specifically, as far as the item numbers that you looked at in this physical match analysis, could you provide the jury with the list of just the item numbers first to start with?
May
Your Honor, I have your report with you, Ms. Willett?
I do.
Okay. Is there any objection, Ms. Tumate, to using the report?
No objection at all.
So feel free to use it.
Okay.
Thank you, Your Honor.
So the questioned items labeled as coming from the road were item 7-5, item 7-6, 7-8, 7-9, 7-10, 7-11, 7-12, 7-13, 7-14, 7-15, 7-16, and 7-19. And the known item labeled coming from the passenger side taillight is item 3-1.
Now, Ms. Valier, within those specific item numbers of how things are labeled at your lab, if there are different pieces associated with the same item, how is it that you label those specifically in this physical match analysis here?
So some of the items had multiple pieces within that item. So I labeled them A, B, C, etc., depending on how many pieces there were.
Now, if you could, please explain to the jury just, again, the process that you followed in your examination of each of those items.
So first I looked at the questioned items, the items labeled as coming from the road. I documented the overall package because they were all packaged in the same container, the same brown paper bag. Documented that individually inside of it, there were a bunch of individual brown paper bags, documented that, and I went one at a time through them, opening each paper bag, taking written notes, taking photos of the items inside. Within each item, I looked to see if any of those pieces fit together. And I cleaned my bench in between the items.
Your Honor, may I approach?
Yes.
And Your Honor, fill the quotes. I show Mr. Unetti all the quotes in advance.
Okay. Is there an objection to any of them, Mr.
Unetti? No objection, Your Honor.
All right, so why don't we just go ahead and mark them all as evidence?
Your Honor, if I could, I was going to take them item by item.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay. Ms. Blair, I'm showing you four photographs. You recognize those?
I do.
What do you recognize those to be?
These are photos that I took of item 3-1.
And again, what was the description associated with item 3-1?
Passenger side taillight.
And was that description further give sort of a specific vehicle or license plate associated with the vehicle that the taillight came from?
It does. Massachusetts 3GC684.
Your Honor, the Commonwealth will seek to introduce in a minute the next exhibit, A through D.
Right, those are coming. That's why I wanted to just mark them all, because they're all coming, right?
That's fine. If the court prefers, I can provide them.
Okay.
All right.
Exhibits
178
through 170D.
May I approach with the REM major, Your Honor?
Yes. And if you have them in sections, we can do that.
This way I'm showing you two more photographs. Just ask if you recognize those.
I do.
And what do you recognize those for?
Photos I took of item 7-5.
And again, from your report, what was the description in reference to item 7-5?
Ma'am.
Thank you. You're fine. It's just
Can I see?
Yes.
Okay. Piece of plastic, red, recovered from 34 Fairview Road.
And you're on the Commonwealth seek to introduce and admit as the next exhibit A and B.
Okay. 171 A and B.
My apologies, Your Honor. With the court's permission, may I publish some of those?
Yes.
Ms. Gilman, if I could first ask for photograph 2122. And Ms. Blair, what's up on the screen, that is the bag associated with the passenger side taillight or the known item, correct?
Correct.
And Ms. Gilman, if I could have photograph 2125. And Ms. Gilman, if you could just enlarge a little bit towards the bottom where the ruler is. Now, Ms. Valier, what's up on the screen now as far as the sort of notations there? Who made those?
I did.
And how do you know that you were the one who made those?
That's my handwriting, and those are my initials.
So the AMV is for your name, correct?
Yes.
And with respect to each of the items that you photographed, you had photographs that were taken of sort of what was in the evidence bag in total displayed on your table that you would clean with the solution and everything else, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And Ms. Gilman, if you could just zoom out a little bit to show the item. And again, what's up on the screen, that is item 3-1, the known item as far as the taillight from the defendant's vehicle.
Yes.
And Ms. Gilman, if I could have 2126. And Ms. Valier, if you could just describe for the jury, what are we looking at in this photograph?
Those are the same items just turned over.
And lastly, for this set, Ms. Gilman, if I could have 2135. And again, same item as far as 3-1, the taillight taken from the defendant's vehicle.
Yes.
Ms. Gilman, if I could ask for photograph 1905. And Ms. Valier, as far as with each of these items, you take photographs when they're inside the bag and then once you take them out of the bag, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And Ms. Gilman, if I could have photograph 1908. And what are we looking at in this photograph?
The contents of item 7-5.
May I approach again, Your Honor?
Yes.
Okay, two more photographs. Do you recognize those?
I do.
And what do you recognize those?
Photos of item 7-6.
And that's one of the bag and then one when the item is taken out of the bag, is that correct?
Yes.
And what was the description for item 7-6?
Piece of plastic, clear, recovered from 34 Fairview Road.
And I'll retrieve those. Colonel Commonwealth, the seat to introduce and admit as the next exhibit, A and B.
Okay. 172 A and B.
And with the court's permission, may I publish those to the jury?
Yes.
Ms. Gilman, if I could have photograph 1921. And then photograph 1924. And what's depicted up on the screen is that what you just have before you as the photograph that you took of item 7-6 recovered from 34 Fairview Road.
Yes.
Thank you. May I approach the witness again, Your Honor?
Yes.
Two other photographs. You review those. Can you recognize those?
I do.
What do you recognize as?
photos I took of item 7-8.
And one of the bag and then one of the items removed from the bag, is that correct?
Yes.
And what is the description associated with item 7-8?
Piece of plastic, red and clear, recovered from 34 Fairview Road.
Thank you. Seek to introduce and admit as the next exhibit, A and B. And Your Honor, with the court's permission, if I could publish those to the jury.
Yes. Exhibits 173, A and B.
Ms. Gilman, if I could have photograph 1931. And then 1934. And Ms. Gilman, if you could zoom in just a little on those items, please. And Ms. Lair, again, what are we looking at in this photograph of item 7 dash, oh, what are we looking at again in this photograph, excuse me?
Photos of item 7-8.
May I approach the witness again, Your Honor?
Yes.
Other photographs. Those. And you recognize those?
I do.
Or what do you recognize those?
Photos of item 7-9 and 7-19.
And as far as the first photograph, as far as the bag, and then second, with the items taken out of the bag, is that correct?
Yes.
So 7-9 and 7-19 were contained in the same bag?
They were. I then separated them into two separate packages.
And as far as 7-9 and 7-19, respectively, if you could tell the jury what was the description for each of those items.
Item 7-9 was pieces of glass recovered from 34 Fairview Road. Item 7-19 is trace item black straw recovered from 34 Fairview Road.
Your Honor, I'll seek to introduce them as the next exhibit, A and B. May I publish, Your Honor?
Hold on.
Oh,
74A, 174B. Now you can publish.
My apologies. Ms. Gilman, if I could have 1958, please. And then 1962. And again, Ms. Lear, what are we looking at in this photograph?
The contents of that bag, item 7-9 and item 7-19.
May I approach again, Your Honor?
Yes.
Two other photographs, do you recognize those?
I do.
And what do you recognize as?
Photos of item 7-10.
And again, one of the bag and one of the contents of the bag, is that correct?
Yes.
And if you could, please tell the jury what was the description for item 7-10.
Piece of plastic, red, recovered from 34 Fairview Road.
I'm on the seat to introduce and admit as the next exhibit, A and B.
Exhibits 175A and B.
May I publish that for the jury, Your Honor?
Yes.
Ms. Gilman, if I could have 1952. And 1956. And again, Ms. Blair, what are we looking at in this photograph?
Photo of item 7-10.
Thank you. Come in, you can take that down. May I approach the witness, Your Honor?
Yes.
And two other photographs, do you recognize those?
I do.
And what do you recognize those?
Photos of item 7-11.
And again, one photo of the bag and one photo of the items outside of the bag?
Yes.
And again, if you could, please tell the jury what the description is associated with item 7-11.
Piece of plastic, 6, red, clear, and black, recovered from 34 Fairview Road.
Your Honor, the Commonwealth is seeking to produce and admit as the next exhibit, A and B.
Exhibits 176A and B.
And may I publish, Your Honor?
Yes.
Ms. Gilman, 1979 and 1982. Again, Ms. Lear, I'm sorry, Ms. Gilman, if you could zoom in just a little on the items themselves. And Ms. Valier, what are we looking at in this photograph?
Photo of item 7-11.
These are photos, again, that you took in the lab during the course of your comparative or physical match analysis, correct?
Yes.
May I approach again, Your Honor?
Yes.
Two other photos, if you could look at those. Do you recognize those?
I do.
And what do you recognize those?
Photos I took of item 7-12.
And again, photograph of the bag, photograph of the items outside of the bag?
Yes.
And if you could, please tell the jury what's the description of item 7-12.
Trace item, 14 glass and clear plastic, recovered from 34 Fairview Road.
Your Honor, the Commonwealth seek to introduce and minutes the next exhibit. Mm-hmm.
Exhibit 177A and 177B.
Your Honor, may I publish?
Yes.
Ms. Gilman, if I could have photograph 2015 and 2018. And again, Ms. Gilman, if you could just zoom in a little on the items. Thank you. And Ms. Valier, again, can you describe what's depicted up on the screen?
It's a photo I took of item 7-12.
Your Honor, may I approach?
Yes.
Need two other photographs. Do you recognize those?
I do.
And what do you recognize those?
Photos I took of item 7-13.
And again, one of the bag and then one with the items removed from the bag?
Yes.
And if you could, please tell the jury what is the description for item 7-13.
Piece of plastic, red and black, recovered from 34 Fairview Road.
I'd love to seek to introduce the minutes next, next exhibit A and B.
Exhibit 178A and 178B.
Your Honor, may I publish?
Yes.
Ms. Gilman, 1997. And 2000. And again, Ms. Gilman, if you could, please zoom in on the items. Thank you. And Ms. Valier, directing your attention to the screen, can you describe for the jury what is depicted on the screen now?
A photo I took of item 7-13.
May I approach the witness, Your Honor?
Yes.
Two other photos. Do you recognize those?
I do.
What do you recognize that?
Photos I took of item 7-14.
And again, one of the bag and one of the items removed from the bag?
Yes.
And again, could you please tell the jury what the description is associated with item 7-14?
Pieces of glass recovered from 34 Fairview Road.
I want to sit to introduce the next exhibit, A and B.
Exhibits 179A and B.
May I publish, Your Honor?
Yes.
Ms. Gilman, if I could have 2009 and 2012. And again, Ms. Gilman, if you could zoom in on the item. And Ms. Valier, as far as what's depicted on the screen, again, if you could describe for the jury what that is.
A photo of item 7-14.
May I approach the witness again, Your Honor?
Yes.
Other photographs, if you could recognize those.
I do.
And what do you recognize as?
Photos of item 7-15.
And again, one of the bag and one of the items taken from the bag, correct?
Yes.
And if you could, please tell the jury what is the description associated with item 7-15.
Piece of plastic, 3 clear and 5 red, recovered from 34 Fairview Road.
the problem I'll seek to introduce and admit as the next exhibit, A and B.
180A, 180B.
May I publish, Your Honor?
Yes.
Ms. Gilman, if I could have 2072.
The last exhibit number, is it 4B?
Yes.
Yes.
And 2077, please. Again, if you could zoom just a little as far as the items are concerned. And Mix Valier, what are we looking at in this photograph?
Item 7-15.
May I approach again, Your Honor?
Yes.
Other photographs, do you recognize that?
I do.
What do you recognize that?
Photos I took of item 7-16.
And again, one of the bag and then one of the contents from the bag, is that correct?
Yes.
And if you could, please tell the jury what was the description associated with item 7-16.
Piece of plastic, red and clear, recovered from 34 Fairview Road.
I'm also seeking to introduce the minutes of the next exhibit. Okay.
Exhibit 181A and B.
May I publish, Your Honor?
Yes.
Ms. Gilman, if I could have 2036 and 2040. And Ms. Gilman, if you could zoom in just a little. Thank you very much. And Ms. Valier, if you could please describe for the jury what we're looking at in this particular photograph.
This is item 7-16.
Ms. Gilman, you can take that down. Now, with respect to each of these items that you examined in your physical match analysis, again, as far as the process is concerned, with the questioned items, what are you doing with reference to each of those questioned items first?
First, I document them, as you've seen. I'll see if any of those within the item have a physical match with each other. And then I'll package that away and look at all the questioned items before I compare inter-questioned items to see if there are any physical matches in between items, all of the 7-dash items.
And as far as your notes are concerned, what is it that you're noting in reference to each of those items as far as what characteristics of the item are you taking note of?
I'll note the size, the color, and the material.
And what, if any, measurements do you take of each of those respective items as well?
I'll take the length and width of each item.
Now, with respect, starting with item 3-1, the passenger side taillight from the defendant's vehicle, sort of internally within that item 3-1, what did you conclude as far as your physical match analysis within that item alone?
Within item 3-1, I believe 4 of the pieces fit together.
And Your Honor, if the witness may refer to her notes
yes.
as to, thank you.
Yes, four of the pieces fit together within item 3-1.
And which four of the pieces?
Pieces A, B, D, and F.
And as far as the labeling of those pieces of an individual item, let's just start with item 3-1. A, B, D, and F, how are they labeled and how do you sort of physically label those items?
We have a label maker in the lab, so I'll print out the case number, the item number, and then A, B, C, and my initials, and that goes physically on each of those items, or all of those pieces.
So if any of those items had a sticker on it with a letter or something associated with that, that would be something that you did during the course of your physical match analysis, correct?
Yes.
Now, if I could turn your attention to item 7-5, piece of plastic, red, recovered from 34 Fairview Road. What did you conclude as far as your physical match analysis just within that single item?
There was no physical match noted among those three pieces of apparent plastic.
And when you say no physical match found from the different pieces within that item, what does that mean?
The broken edges of each piece did not align.
So the broken edges of the individual pieces within item 7-5 did not fit together with the broken edges of pieces within item 7-5, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, with respect to item 7-6, a clear piece of plastic recovered from 34 Fairview Road, what did you conclude based on your physical match analysis just pertaining to that item 7-6?
So this item was two pieces of colorless apparent plastic, and there was no physical match noted between those two pieces.
Now, with reference to item 7-8, red and clear plastic recovered from 34 Fairview Road, what did you conclude in regard to your physical match analysis just with the pieces contained within item 7-8?
So there were 14 pieces. Pieces C and D fit together, and pieces E and F fit together.
And when you say fit together, is there a term of art used within your field called a mechanical fit?
Yes.
And can you explain to the jury what you understand that term to mean as far as what is a mechanical fit?
So a mechanical fit and a physical match are the same thing. It's when the broken edges align together to show that they were once a single item.
Now, if I could turn your attention to item 7-9, pieces of glass recovered from 34 Fairview Road. What were you able to conclude from your physical match analysis of just the individual pieces contained within item 7-9?
So this item had three pieces, and no physical match was found between those.
Turning your attention to item 7-10, red pieces of plastic recovered from 34 Fairview Road. That is a single item, is that correct?
Correct.
So no physical match because there's nothing to match, it's just one piece, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And turning your attention to item 7-11, identified as six red, clear, and black pieces of plastic recovered from 34 Fairview Road. What did you conclude in regard to your physical match analysis just within those pieces contained within 7-11?
So that item had six pieces and there was no physical match noted among those six.
Now, turning your attention to item 7-12, which was identified as 14 pieces of glass and clear plastic recovered from 34 Fairview Road. Again, what did you conclude from your physical match analysis just from the various pieces contained within item 7-12?
So there were 14 pieces overall. Pieces B, C, D, F, and K fit together mechanically as one unit. And then pieces E and I fit together mechanically as one unit. And pieces M and N fit together mechanically as one unit.
Now, through your examination of these pieces in particular and other pieces as well, did you note any debris contained on the pieces that you located?
Yes.
And can you say anything as far as what that debris was, or was there any analysis done of that debris specifically?
I just note that there was debris present, and I package it into a tin that's retained with the original packaging.
Now, turning your attention to item 7-13, that was a piece of plastic, red and black, recovered from 34 Fairview Road, is that correct?
Yes.
And again, just with respect to your physical match analysis of the various pieces of 7-13, what did you conclude?
So that item had three pieces, and there was no physical match noted among those three.
And again, with reference to item 7-14, piece of glass recovered from 34 Fairview Road, that was again a single item, correct?
A single piece, yes.
So I'll turn your attention to item 7-15, three clear and five red pieces of plastic recovered from 34 Fairview Road, is that correct?
Yes.
And what were you able to conclude from your physical match analysis, again, just from the various pieces contained within item 7-15?
So there were eight pieces in this one. Pieces F and H fit together mechanically.
Turning your attention to, lastly for this purpose, item 7-16, a piece of plastic, red and clear, recovered from 34 Fairview Road. What were you able to conclude from your physical match analysis just contained within the pieces of that single item, 7-16?
So that item had seven pieces. Pieces A, C, and D fit together mechanically.
Now, Mix Valier, once you had examined each of those pieces individually, what did you do next in your analysis?
Next, I compared all of the inter-questioned, these items 7-5 to 7-16. I compared them to see if there was a mechanical fit amongst those, between those items.
Mr. Lally, is this a good place for our break?
It's perfect. Yes, Your
Honor. All right, jurors, we'll take our morning break. We'll see you back here in about 15, 20 minutes. Thanks for waiting. You can walk out right
okay.
With the jurors.
Please rise for the jury.
And can I see counsel for a minute, please? All right, Mr. Lessie, I'll hear you.
You are unmuted.
Thank you, Your Honor. Yesterday, Your Honor discussed with the parties, and parties were heard with regard to the issues we have raised with regard to the timing of the May 8th report from Mr. Burgess that the defense received on May 11th. And what I wanted to do, Your Honor, is briefly provide the information Your Honor asked for yesterday, which was how much time we might need under various circumstances.
Okay.
And so I wanted to take a few moments to put that in context. It will only take me a brief amount of time to do so. So, Your Honor, there is a timing issue, but there's most importantly a substantive issue. I will not, of course, go into the detail of yesterday, but the timing really does, is informed by the substantive issue. And so, with regard to the matter, we went back and we looked at more deeply the effect of this timing and this movement of the what has been referred to as clock drift in Mr. Burgess's report that we got on May 11th. I spoke of the significance yesterday, and here's what I would like to add as is relevant to the time we're going to need. I again urge the court to reject it substantively, because what we did was we went and we looked at matters such as the cross-examination of a key witness in this case, Jennifer McCabe. She testified with regard to observing a vehicle at 12:45 a.m. And that's a significant point. I know I don't need to elucidate for Your Honor. It goes, all of this is going in significant part, if not total part, to what has been as alleged a collision here, which we vigorously contest. No collision ever occurred. But the timing of it, the timing of what's alleged by the Commonwealth is very important. The seconds are important. Literally 1 second can turn not only the Commonwealth's theory completely around in circles and debunk it, but also the jury's analysis of it. And this is the point I wanted to elucidate today, is that the jurors have been provided information and the defense has aimed its defense on this claim based upon, in large part, timing. So now what we have is we have on May 11th, Mr. Burgess changing the timing. So what does it affect? Not only witnesses like Jennifer McCabe, who we crossed, we strategized with regard to, but also my decision to not even cross Trooper Guarino, because Trooper Guarino had testimony with regard to when Ms. Reed connected with the Wi-Fi at One Meadows, and there's a certain time associated with that. We have Mr. Whiffen, who went through, the Commonwealth went through a timeline, and we believe they went through a timeline for the theory that they had, and we cross-examined, I cross-examined Mr. Whiffen extensively with regard to that timeline. There were several strategy, defense strategies, and effectuations of strategies based upon that timing. So, with regard to the substance, Your Honor, and there's more, but I think that's a fair representation. It innervates our entire defense. The question now of Your Honor of how much time it will take the defense to react to Mr. Burgess, I wanted to say it's not only a reaction, but it's a substantive defense analysis, and three-quarters of the effectuation of that has already occurred through our presentation in terms of cross-examination. So we would have to, and we're still evaluating that, revisit all of that. And secondly, we would have to put that into the calculation of all of our witnesses that we've already prepared that are based upon that timeline. So it is a very significant point, and to the extent that the Commonwealth tries to argue, well, you know, we never really committed that much to a certain time period. I again urge the court to look at the report of Dr. Judson Welcher, where he has 1162-2 with a specific range 1238 to 43. And even in their range, it's a very small time, which further supports how each second matters in this regard. Now to the answer to the question Your Honor asked yesterday. Again, I urge that it just be rejected and we keep this trial moving in its current pace. To the extent that that does not occur, and again, we urge that it be rejected, the report, because it's a Rule 14 violation, there is no remedy for the defense. However, to the extent, and given Your Honor nonetheless asked me for an answer in time, we would need 4 days to be able to address it. We will not ever be able to recover strategically or substantively from it, given all that's been presented to the jury, and it will be very difficult to figure out how we're going to go present a defense after we've already presented to the jury our defense and our cross-examination. It's not really structurally possible to simply take 4 days and address Mr. Burgess, because we can't go back to all the witnesses I just mentioned and others and start crossing them and eliciting testimony with this new time period in mind. But I wanted to answer the question, Your Honor, respectfully. It would be 4 days for us to even go from where we are now and then try to alter not only witnesses such as Arca, but DeSogra and Gaffney and other types of witnesses that we have in that regard. So, my Your Honor, respectfully, okay. That is my response.
All right. Does the Commonwealth want to be heard?
Thank you.
Okay.
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second from the Hidden Killers Podcast and True Crime Today.